Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So from this 23rd Anuchet until the end of the second Sandarbha, the spiritual energy of the personality of Godhead is being described. The verse was quoted from the prayers of personified Vedas, that the conditioned soul is trying to enjoy material nature, but you have no interest in enjoying material nature. You're enjoying with your internal potency. And we're on 23.4. Ata eva daitya balakan prati shri pralada vakyam kevalanu bhavananda swarupak parameshwaraha mayayantarhitaishwarya iyate gunasargaya. From the 7th canto, chapter 6, translation of it is, therefore Sri Prahlad spoke these words to the children of the Daitya demons. In his original identity, the Supreme Lord enjoys his own exclusive bliss. He hides his opulences from others by the illusory energy with her creation of the material modes. The word kevala is there. Kevala anubhava, ananda, swarupa. His swarupa, his essential identity, is ananda, bliss. And that bliss is kevala anubhava. It's pure awareness and nothing else. And the Mayavadis talk in those terms, intending to be describing an absolute truth with no qualities. But this is addressed, or this is being preached by Prahlad Maharaj. He doesn't mean that by it at all. And therefore the translation that Prabhupada gives is, the Supreme Lord enjoys his own exclusive bliss. That bliss is not impersonal. It's not without varieties. It's kevala because it has nothing to do with anything material. And thus, when the Upanishads talk about kevalananda, exclusive bliss, they're not proposing the impersonal way of seeing things. It's not the viewpoint of the Upanishads, actually. Anyway, let's see what Sridhar Swami says about this. Tika cha nanu saeva chet sarvatra tarhi sarvatra sarvagyatvad upalabhyeta tatraha gunatmakak sargo yasyas taya mayaya antarhitam aishwaryam yena saha. Okay. This is the gloss, or just the construing of the last half of the verse. Mayaya antarhitaishwarya iyate gunasargaya. The commentary on this states, it might be questioned, if he is present everywhere, his omniscience and other qualities should be perceivable everywhere. I'm sorry, could someone go ask them to stop talking loudly? Okay. Interesting Purvapaksha. It's outside? Okay. The Absolute Truth is all-pervading. How come we don't see the perfection of the Absolute Truth everywhere? Why don't we see his omniscience and his other qualities everywhere? So these words are spoken in answer to that. Gunatmaka, his opulence has become hidden by the Maya, who creates with the material modes. Mayaya, by Maya, antarhita, concealed Aishwarya, whose opulences? Okay. Not that the opulences are degraded by Maya. It's not that the Supreme Lord is affected by Maya. But we don't see the opulences of the Supreme Lord. Our vision is degraded by Maya. The effect is not on the Supreme Lord. It's on our consciousness. And this is the Gunasargaya, Mayaya, and then the last word in the verse, Gunasargaya, that is describing the Maya. The Maya, Gunatmakaksargo yasya taya. By that Maya, his opulences are concealed. By that Maya, of whom there is the Sarga, the creation, which is composed of the material modes. Okay, that's the Jiva Maya. The effect of that Maya is on the Jivas, not on the Supreme Lord. Ityesha, that is Sridhar Swami's commentary. Atra, now Jiva Goswami has some comments of his own. Atra Bhagavad Aishwaryasya Maya Yantarhitatvena Gunasargaya Maya-ya, and rather Maya-ya, visheshana vinyasena cha tadati tatvam bodhyati surupavat. Here, by the fact that the Lord's opulence is hidden by Maya, Maya-ya, Bhagavad Aishwaryasya, Maya antarhi tatvena, by the fact that the Lord's opulence is hidden by Maya, and also by the insertion of the qualification of that Maya as she who creates by the modes. Upanyasa. Is the word upanyasa here? No, vinyasa. Vinyasa, insertion. In other words, we've already called Maya, we've described Maya as concealing the Lord's opulences, and then also add another adjective, gunasargaya. That adjective is inserted or added on. Maya visheshana. It's a qualification of Maya. She's Gunasarga. What does that accomplish? By the insertion of the qualification of that Maya as she who creates by the modes, we are informed that his opulence transcends Maya just as his essential self does. The Lord himself, the Supreme, in its essence, is beyond Maya. But the Mayavadis will think that if there are any opulences of the Supreme, if there's any duality, whether you think of it as spiritual or material duality, if there's any duality emanating from the Supreme, that must be created by the power of avidya. Avidya creates the illusion of duality. But here, Prahlad is denying that, not only does the Lord in his essence transcend Maya, but his specific qualities also, his opulences also are beyond Maya. They are also spiritual. She creates, she conceals the opulences by creating the material world with the three modes, but she doesn't, that opulence itself is not a creation of Maya. That is transcendental, untouched by Maya, and not emanating from her, but from his essence. We are informed that his opulence transcends Maya just as his essential self does. The Mayavadis agreed that the essential, the Swarupa of Brahman is beyond Maya. But they say that the Aishwarya of Bhagavan is Maya. And Prahlad and all the other Vaishnavas are denying that. Atap Parameshvara iti visheshanam api tatsaha yogena purvam eva dattam iti gyeyam. Thus we can understand the qualification supreme controller was given previous to this with the idea that he is accompanied by his opulent power. He was called Parameshvara in the first half of the verse. Kevalana bhavananda swarupa parameshvara. Calling him Parameshvara indicates that he's accompanied by his opulent power. What does it mean to be an Ishvara if there's nothing for you to control? Controller means he has energies. A person, a thing, an entity with no energy is not a controller of anything. So the Supreme has his energies. And therefore he's called Ishvara. And he's the Supreme Ishvara. It's common convention that we call the Absolute Truth in its generic conception as Brahman. That's how the Upanishads term it. If we're not revealing the personality of the Supreme, we can call the Supreme Brahman in its generic form. But when we use the term, when the Upanishads use the term Ishvara, then we're talking about the Supreme with his energies. And the Upanishads do talk about Ishvara, not only about Brahman. Commentary. Maya influences the finite souls, but not the Parameshvara. His appearing to be covered is actually Maya's covering the vision of the jivas. She sends forth her modes, and they evolve into the objects of creation. The Supreme Lord, however, is nirguna, untouched by the material modes. Even when the jivas fail to perceive him, he remains always the absolute controller. Okay, now, there was at least one question pending that was sent into the conference. Let me check it. From Madan Mohan Prabhu, 23rd of March. Regarding Jiva Maya, this question. Regarding Jiva Maya and Guna Maya, can we say that when Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, Aparihamitastvanyam, Prakritim vidime param, Jiva Bhutam Mahabaho Yeidam, Dharyate Jagat, beside these, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mine which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior world. He is talking about Gunamaya as inferior to the jiva. And when he says, Daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye papajante mayame tam tarantite. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Okay, it does look like the first verse, 7.5, is talking about the material modes. Okay, yes. The verse is talking about the jiva who is beyond the eight elements of creation. And he's maintaining the world. Okay, that's jiva in the position of controlling the gunamaya. Although actually he's not really the controller, it's just he's trying to and pretending to. I don't know. I mean, Jiva Goswami is not talking about, in the Sandarbha, he talks about gunamaya, but he doesn't say that the jiva is superior to gunamaya. He doesn't say that, does he? Or does he? Go ahead, please.
Yes. The question was asked a few times, at least of me, that Krishna seems to describe in two ways relations between Maya and Jiva. In one of the particular first verse, he emphasizes that Jiva is superior to the energy by saying that it's param, superior and higher, maybe in hierarchy, whatever it is. Not that they are able to control.
Oh,
well,
of course, the Jiva is superior to matter, yes. But Gunamaya...
Would you mind if I just...
Maya is Shakti.
Just conclude, and the second verse which is quoted, then it says that Maya actually is superior to Jiva in the sense that Maya keeps the Jiva here and Jiva cannot overcome Maya on its own accord. So it looks like some devotees ask me that it looks like Maya acts twofold. It's first described as inferior to Jiva and in other verse it's described as superior to Jiva in a sense of controlling. Jiva. So that's why the question comes, if these verses are talking about the two functions of Maya, which is essentially the same.
Well, okay, no, I that's seems to be a correct analysis. It's just that Jiva Goswami doesn't himself explicitly say it that way. Well, I haven't seen it in the Sandarbhas. Okay, so it's okay, it's an idea that's valid, but Jiva Goswami didn't bring it forward, that the Jivas... in one sense inferior, one sense superior. Because what's the actual identity of Gunamaya? Is Gunamaya just the inert energy, or is it an active force? Is it Shakti? It's this personal Shakti of the Lord that controls the guna, creates the gunas. So there's, one second, distinction between the deity or the Shakti and what the Shakti controls. Even when you talk about Gunamaya, there's a person who is the presiding deity of the Gunamaya. Her job is just to create the elements, the raw ingredients. Like one manufacturer produces the raw ingredients and another factory makes something out of it. So those are the two different factories of Maya, the raw ingredient production and the production of the actual product. But they're both under the control of deity, you know, of the personality, Prakriti. So as long as we distinguish, I mean, Jiva is superior to the material elements, yes, but even that Gunamaya as the deity of Gunamaya is still something superior to him. She's a Shakti.
Yeah, thank you. Like the example which I somehow I wanted to give, that when I gave actually the example when we discussed that question, that we have a cat, mother cat, and a kitten, and the kitten may play with the mother's tail, and the tail appears to be separate from the mother. It bites it and jumps around it and pulls on it. But then when it comes time to go somewhere, then the mother manifests as a personality. It catches the kitten by the neck and goes. And the same tail goes with it. So in other words, in this particular example, mother, she acts in two different, like Nimitta Karana and Upadana Karana. Both things are there in the same person. Looks like Maya also allows us to play with the modes and the gross material elements. Yes. And then when it comes time to go somewhere else, or actually all the time it happens like that. She controls us all the time.
Yes.
So these seem to be two features of Maya playing at the same time.
It's the same person, same Maya.
Person, yeah.
Or you can generalize this, that this is the way women are. They seem to be subordinate and then they take control. Yes?
I was also thinking about this dichotomy, that that in one sense it's superior, in one sense it's inferior, the Maya compared to the living entity. I was reading an article, I think it was the first BTG, and I came with this understanding after reading this article that we are in quality superior, but in quantity inferior. Meaning the soul is invisible, therefore becomes overwhelmed.
Superior to what?
Qualitatively superior to material nature, but quantitatively inferior. That Maya is greater in quantity, therefore it overcomes us.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense. And then Krishna is both qualitatively and quantitatively above everything. Therefore, he controls.
Okay.
It's anu. The soul is anu. I don't know if that makes sense. Or.
Yes, it makes sense.
Okay. So that's why it becomes overcome.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
I also remember in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in this section about lust, while Krishna answers Arjuna's question about lust, how we can overcome it, this one verse is there, Indriyanim paramahor, Indriyardhyam paramanaha, Manaso stuparam buthir, Yobuthir prasastu saha. In this verse, it is said that soul is superior to all those material elements. But in the purport to this verse, Śrīla Prabhupāda, he quotes from Upanishads. I don't remember exact verse, but this verse says that this material objects of senses, they become superior to the soul. Well, when soul is attached to them. So in the same way, we are superior to Maya, but when we are attached to possessing Maya, it becomes superior to us.
So that kind of superiority, when you try to exercise your superiority over the modes and you get trapped by them, that's not real superiority. Yeah. We better we take shelter of the superior who doesn't get trapped like that. It's some kind of superiority, but it gets turned over, overturned. So that's not real superiority. Okay, let me move into the next part, 23.5. Shrutayas cha. There are also such statements of Shruti that say the same as. And actually, it's not also. This is the Shruti we already referred to. We're just giving it now. So let me. Yes, we did. I'll show you. No. Jiva Goswami is talking about the Ajah. I'll show you. Because Jiva Goswami points out that in the prayer of the personified Vedas, he uses the term Aja. I point out in the commentary that's you mean that's me and not him? Okay. Well, okay, but still, that this Shruti we're about to read, it has been alluded to by the personified Vedas. It's not something we're bringing out from the middle of nowhere. So I just want to remove the word also. This was already alluded to. Anyway. I just think it's misleading when I say also. It just sounds like it's just something additional that has nothing to do with what was before. But it's actually connected with the first verse that was spoken by the prayers of the personified Vedas. This is the Shruti that they're echoing. Ajam ekam lohita shukla krishnam bahvik praja srijamanam sarupa ajo yeko jushamano nushete jahadyenam bukta bogam ajonyaha. Okay, so this is the statement of Shruti. There is one eternal female who gives birth to many children, red, white, and black, all resembling herself. One eternal male lies beside her, trying to enjoy her, while another eternal male leaves her aside as already enjoyed. That's a Shvetashvatara Upanishad, fourth chapter. Iti, and there's also other statements of Shruti. Yadatmako bhagavams tadatmika vyaktihi kimatmako bhagavan gyanatmaka aishvaryatmaka shaktiatmakascha. I don't have a reference for that one. As is the nature of the Supreme Lord, so is the nature of his manifestation, his vyakti. What is the nature of the Supreme Lord? He comprises knowledge, opulence, and potency. Vyakti is sometimes translated as individual, but it comes from the verb vyanj, which means to reveal or manifest. Vyakti is manifestation, appearance. So, what Bhagawan is like, that's what his manifestation is like. Well, what is Bhagawan like? He's composed of Jnana, Aishwarya, and Shakti. What is the nature of the Supreme Lord? He comprises knowledge, opulence, and potency. And another statement, this one is coming from the Vishnu Purana. Wait a minute, no. No, the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, first chapter. Devatma shaktim swagunayar nigudham. The personal energy of the Lord disguised by her own qualities. Actually, that is from the very beginning of the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Some sages approached, I think, Pippalada or Pippalayana and asked him some questions about the Supreme, the Akshara. What is the nature of the infallible Supreme? And he, they had a vision of the Supreme Absolute Truth with his Devatma Shakti, with his divine potency. That's at the very beginning of the Upanishad. So that's the words Devatma Shaktim Swagunaya Nigudam. Let me make a change here in lowercase. Okay. Atra. Oh. Atra swagunayar iti yati te gojara vacham ityuktai sviya svabhavayar ityartaha. Devatma shaktir swagunayar nigudham. The Devatma Shakti who is concealed by her own qualities. What does own qualities mean there? Here, by her own qualities means by her unique characteristics. In accordance with the statement, she is beyond the scope of words. Yatita gochara. When you say swaguna, the word swa just means a reflexive pronoun meaning one's own, but it can have a special connotation. It can imply that these are unique qualities that nobody else has. Or these are qualities that we're incapable of describing. All we can say is these are his qualities. Because we don't know anything else about these qualities. They're unknown or unknowable. So it's just his unique qualities, his asadharana qualities. He's got unique special qualities. And the only way you'll ever know them is if he chooses to reveal them. So also the creative material energy of the Lord has got special qualities that are inconceivable. Swaguna, her own unique qualities. And that's indicated by the other statement, Ya Atita Gochara Vacham, she who is beyond the scope of words to describe. That's from the Vishnu Purana, that phrase, Yatita Gochara Vacham. The Mayavadis say that avidya, the power that creates illusion, creates duality imposed upon the Supreme Absolute Truth, that it cannot be distinguished, it cannot be determined whether that energy is real or not real, whether it exists or it doesn't exist. It's anirvachaniya, inexplicable. That avidya, is that avidya a real energy? If it is, then there's something real existing other than, separate from the Brahman. And if it's not real, if it's an unreal energy, how can it have any influence? So the Mayavadis just refuse to settle the question. They say it's anirvachaniya, it's inexplicable. They're serious about it. The only way they can get away with this idea of avidya is by denying or refusing to settle the question whether it exists or not. But there is the real material energy, and she has inconceivable qualities. She has variety within her that even the material energies have potencies, have capacities that we cannot understand. Even a little fly is managing to fly around by inconceivable energy. All things that exist have inconceivable energy. Atra Sri Vishnu Purani Shasht Amshe Niratisha Nirastati Shayachlada Ityadi Prakaranam Tadiya Sridhara Swami Tika Chanu Sandeya. Okay. Shrutayaha Sri Bhagavantam. Further study in this regard can be made of the section of the sixth book of the Sri Vishnu Purana which begins Nirast Atisharach Lada and Sridhar Swami's commentary on it. Okay. Jiva Goswami chooses not to get into these details here, but he refers us, he recommends to us that we look at this. The section of the Vishnu Purana begins with the words Nirasta Ati Shalach Lada and Sridhar Swami's commentary on it. Shrutaya Sri Bhagavantam. The verse under discussion, Bhagavatam 10:87-38, was spoken by the Shrutis to the personality of Godhead. Well, okay, what about this section of the Vishnu Purana and Sridhar Swami's commentary on it? Well, we have a hint here. Let me read the commentary. The Upanishads, appealing to the taste of their typical readers, focus especially on the formless Brahman aspect of the Supreme. Viewed in full context, however, these Vedic texts are self-evidently far from completely impersonal. The opening passage of the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, for example, describes a revelation of the Supreme Lord together with his consort energy to a group of sincere meditators. This is Shvetashvatara Upanishad 1.3. Te dhyana yoganugata apashyan devatma shaktim swagunayar nigudham yakara nani nikalani tani kalatma yuktanya ditishtat yekaha. Concentrating their minds in meditation, the sages then perceived the Supreme's creative energy, confidentially endowed with his qualities. They also saw the Supreme in person, the effulgent Lord, who alone is the foundation of all causes in creation, including time and the soul. The section of the Vishnu Purana recommended here for further study along I don't see this word alone. Okay, let me delete the word. Sorry. I'll get back to it. Okay, a stray word there. Okay, I'll read it again. The section of the Vishnu Purana recommended here for further study has been discussed at length, along with Sridhar Swami's commentary, in the Sarvasambhadani appendix to the Bhagavad Sandarbha. Okay, we haven't looked at the Sarvasambhadani. It's a very long passage, and I'm not finished working on it yet. But let's dive into there, and let's look for this passage. Nirast Atisha Alada. I'm going to have to do a search for it. Hold on a second. Let's see if I can discover it. Is that talking in the kitchen? I'm sorry, I asked that. Okay, if it's not here, but see if it is. Yeah, maybe it's supposed to be there. You looked at all of them? Yes. Is that inside? Ask them to stop. You see it? Where did you find it? Where is it? Okay, hold on a second. There should be a number there, no? I see, it's in file 42. Okay, now what's the words? What's the number? 23? Hold on a second. Okay, there is a short reference to it in paragraph 92. You say 23? Okay, let me find 23. That should be in file 37. No, 23 is here. I'm sorry. Maybe you got an older version. Your numbers are different. What? Read me the word you have there. Itam what? Advaita Sharirakya? Okay, let me see. Well, I have something here. I have it here. It doesn't seem to be what you're pointing at, but this seems to be it. 91 in file 42. Tatra bhaganam svaprakashatvam bhagavishishtasyaiva bhagavata paravidya matrabi vyangyataya Sri Vishnu Purane spashtam. It is made clear in the Vishnu Purana that these opulences are self-manifest because the Supreme Lord, who is qualified by them, is revealed only by the mystic process of transcendental knowledge. Praya Sri Sridhar Swami Pradhanam Kramena Tadvyakyane Chayata. Here is an explanation of that passage, following for the most part the sequence of Sridhar Swami's commentary. So Jiva Goswami is going to paraphrase Sridhar Swami this time rather than quote him directly. He's going to follow the argument closely, but not exactly, of Sridhar Swami. The first verse, Nirast Adi Shayahlada Sukha Bhavaika Lakshana Bishajam Bhagavat Praptir Ekantatyantiki Mata. That was the words Niratisha Atishaya Ahlada is the beginning of this verse. And this verse is Vishnu Purana 6.5.59. Sixth Amsha is the last canto of the Vishnu Purana. There's only eight chapters in it, so it's near the very end of the Vishnu Purana. And it says, it is thought that the one unfailing cure, Beshajam, for all ills is attainment of the personality of Godhead, Bhagavat Prapti, which attainment is characterized exclusively as a state of unexcelled bliss and satisfaction. Nirasta Atishayahlada Sukhabha Vaika Lakshana. Now Sridhar Swami comments, Ityatra Nirasta Atisha Alado Nirvrittir Yasmin Suke Tadbhavas Tadatmatvam Evaika Lakshanam Yasya Sa Tata. Okay, commenting on the first two lines. He writes, it, the attainment, is such that its only characteristic, Eka Lakshana, is the state or the identity found in that happiness in which there is unexcelled bliss, pleasure. Kimcha ekanta bhagavan nishta matrein avashyam bhavani natu ritvig adi vaigunyena karma paladi vad anitya. Furthermore, it is absolute. Necessarily realized, absolute means, necessarily realized simply by having solid faith in the personality of Godhead. This bliss is not temporary, as are the fruits of fruitive rituals, and so on, due to deficiencies in one's priests and so on. It is also unfailing, eternal. The fruits of fruitive rituals are temporary and uncertain because the priest can make some mistakes, or other, you can do something wrong and everything can be ruined in ritual sacrifice. Atyantika cha nitya. It is also
Hare Krishna.
It is also unfailing, atyantiki. That means eternal. The bliss that's experienced by achieving the Supreme Lord.
Boy.
Okay. Tasmat tatprapte. And now, the following verse. That was the first verse in the passage of the Vishnu Purana. We continue with the next verse. Tasma tapraptaye yatna kartavyak panditair nadaih tatprapti hetur gyanam cha karma choktam mahamuni. Therefore, learned persons should endeavor for attaining him. The cause of this attainment, O great sage, causes of this attainment, O great sage, are said to be knowledge and sacrifice. Ityatra, this is commented on by Sridhar Swami, yatnasya sadhana vishayatvat sadhanam aha tatprapti iti karmacha sattva shuddhi dvara gyanam cha sakshat. Sridhar Swami comments on that second verse, because an endeavor must devolve upon it. What? That the word doesn't make sense. Because an endeavor must be based on a discipline. What is it? I guess. Anyway, I'm just going to question it and figure it out later. Must depend on a discipline. That discipline is described in the words beginning tat praptihi. Okay, you should make an endeavor. The absolute truth is desirable to achieve, because if you achieve him, you get unexcelled bliss. So one should try to achieve him. The question is, well, how do you go about doing that? How do you achieve this supreme personality of Godhead? So here's the sadhana, the discipline. And the statement is tat prapti hetu jnanam cha karma choktam, jnana and karma. Sacrifice is the means through purification of one's life, and knowledge is directly. In other words, sacrifice is the preliminary means. It makes you purified by performing ritual, by performing Vedic sacrifices. Your mind and your very existence becomes purified. And then you become fit to receive the knowledge of the Upanishads. And that knowledge gives you liberation, and in the liberated condition you experience the bliss. Or by realizing the personality of Godhead, you experience the highest bliss. But you have to be purified first to become fit to receive that transcendental knowledge. So karma and jnana, both are the means. Karma indirectly, or preliminarily, and then directly, the means of getting that bliss, of Bhagavat Prapti, is jnana. Okay. Of course, we talk about bhakti being the means of achieving the supreme. Anyway, bhakti is a kind of jnana. It's a special kind of jnana. Anyway, Vishnu Purana here is talking about jnana. At least it's talking about Bhagavan and not about Brahman. It continues. 9 would be the next verse, 61. 6561. Tat cha jnanam dvividam ityahardina agamotam vivekacha dvida jnanam tatochate. Well, that jnana is also said, this knowledge is also described in 1.5 and 1/2 of a verse as having two divisions. The first half of the next verse. Knowledge is also said to be twofold, that which is presented in the scriptures and that which comes from discriminating thought. And tadvivinot aparardhina. This is further explained in the second half of the verse. Shabda brahmagama mayam param brahma viveka jam. Brahman in the form of sound comprises the scriptures, and the supreme Brahman appears from discrimination. Okay. Ityatra. Now Sridhar Swami comments on this. Agamamayam agamotam jnanam. Comprising the scriptures means knowledge which is presented in the scriptures. We're talking about two different kinds of knowledge. There's a knowledge you get out of the scriptures, out of the Upanishads. Shabda brahmam shabdat. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma iti adi vakyat jayamanam brahma shravana jam jnanam agamotam iti artaha. Brahman is in the form of sound, or what do we call it? Shabdam agamamayam is the word in the verse. Agamamayam. Brahman in the form of sound. No, that's not agamamayam. Shabda Brahma. Okay, Brahman in the form of sound, Shabda Brahma, is the Brahman which takes birth from sound, from such statements as Brahman is reality and knowledge unlimited. That's the sound of the Vedas. The words of the Vedas tell us Brahman is reality and knowledge unlimited. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. From hearing that sound, you get some knowledge, realization of Brahman on that level of agama otam ganam. This is born from hearing. Or in other words, this is the knowledge which is presented in the scriptures. Now, param brahma viveka jam. The absolute, the supreme, there's the shabda brahma and the para brahman. The realization of para brahma comes from viveka, from discrimination. Viveka jam doesn't mean this absolute truth is born. It's not born, it's unborn. But your realization of it is born from viveka, from higher realization. One thing, you read something out of a book, but when you personally realize it, when you realize it in depths of your heart, then it becomes realization of Parabrahman. Or Sridhar Swami says, the Supreme Brahman is the consciousness which is revealed in deep contemplation, the state of the mind which assumes the form of the self distinguished from the body, and so on. In this sense, it is knowledge born from discrimination. I didn't read that. Dehadi vivikt atma kara chitta vrittau nidhi jasanayam prakashamanam param brahma viveka jam gyanam ityartaha. Vritti vyangyasya brahmana eva gyan abhideya tvat brahma eva gyanam ityuktam. Since Brahman, which is revealed through the functions of the mind, is designated as consciousness, thus it is said that Brahman itself is consciousness. We call Brahman consciousness. Actually, it's revealed in the consciousness, but we metaphorically call Brahman consciousness itself. Of course, Brahman is also conscious, and it is the source of all consciousness. But also in this context, Shabda Brahma Agama Mayam. Shabda Brahma is the realization that comes from direct awareness. I mean, Shabda Brahma, Param Brahma Viveka Jam. Okay, Hare Krishna. Okay, this goes on, so we'll have to continue tomorrow. Yes. I know, I thank you. I also quote that, but thank you. Okay. Double quote missing. Okay, we'll stop now. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Jai.